Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10. Hebrews number 10, chapter number 10. Hebrews was written in the atmosphere of the seeds of apostasy. And you can see, as we have given the teaching in the first 10 chapters, the superiority of Christ over the prophets, over the angels, over Moses, over the Old Testament priest and priesthood, and the Levitical sacrifices, and the Old Covenant being inferior to the New Covenant. We have the conclusion that we looked at last week, those exhortations to perseverance and constancy against backsliding and against backsliding and apostasy. And so he gives us those exhortations to constancy in this era and in the atmosphere of the seeds of apostasy. Certainly very appropriate. And so we find that conclusion. Verse 23, 22, let us draw near. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast the profession of our faith. It's going to take a definite willful holding fast. And it says, let us consider one another. What a contrast to the day of in which we live. 2 Timothy said that men will be lovers of themselves. Whereas the message of the last hour that is applied to today is, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Isn't it interesting? The days are more evil than ever, and churches meet less than ever. How did that figure? How'd that figure? We have this exhortation to perseverance and constancy and against backsliding and apostasy. Here's the formula. And now he gives a stern warning. Now he gives a stern warning. Verse 26. You might say, warns us to think of the dangers of apostasy and where it leads and what it will bring. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, there's a double picture here. You reject Christ, there's no more sacrifice for sins. Because you rejected the only one. But notice in the Bible, there was no prescription in the Old Testament for willful sin. Presumptuous sin. Let's look and at that. Numbers 15. Verse 30 of chapter 15. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So in the law, the first five commandments all contain the death sentence, breaking of the covenant, and dishonoring parents, and murder, and adultery all carried the death penalty. That's what it means to be cut off from the people. Now, again, remember the context. The context is, you know, Jewish people. And they understand the Old Testament. They knew the result of a presumptuous sin. That's bad. But he had just proven that the Old Covenant is far inferior to the New Covenant. And if there was this sober result in the Old Testament, how much more so under the New Covenant? So we have this beginning of this very stern warning to the people of God in the time of in the time where the seeds of apostasy are spreading. So he is pointing out the terrible character of the sin of apostasy. Psalm 19, it says, let presumptuous sins, that's willful sins, have not let the presumptuous sins have, not, I'm misquoting, have not dominion over me. And so he's warning them from the terrible character of the sin of apostasy. Now just think about it. How terrible. And yet we're living in the day in which that, I don't like to use the word, that ism is floating in the air. And we already talked about it as evidenced. We live in a most evil day than you can imagine, and yet somehow don't need to go to church anymore. You see, it's the spirit of the air, isn't it? And so we find the evil nature of the sin of apostasy. It's a will to sin willfully after receiving the truth. You know, they've just been given the truth. He proved the truth to them, 10 chapters worth. And now, to turn from the truth, willful turning from the truth. That speaks of the terrible character of such a thing. It talks about the fact that in the Old Testament there is no sacrifice that would avail them. To reject Christ is to reject the only sacrifice available to them. And so, notice it says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now again, he is taking Old Testament picture that they well knew. Turn to Leviticus 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And so it reminds them this fiery indignation that came from the Lord of a willful turning from the truth. And he's warning them. And there ought to be a warning in this day that ought to stir our hearts. Now, if you sense spiritual things, you recognize that thinking is laughable today. He's saying there's a certain fearful looking forth of judgment and fiery indignation. That's what should be warned about. But what about the air? I feel it. Nah. I mean, fiery indignation, whoa! And we say, ah. But he's the parallel of the times. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. He that despised Moses' law. Deuteronomy 32. Verses 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sins and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundation of the mountains. Of course, here we have the song of Moses of the testimony of the people of God. What will happen to them if they break the Mosaic covenant? And of course, those chapters, Deuteronomy 29 through 32, are the chapters of the blessing and the cursing. And what will happen if they break the covenant? And he's speaking of the I can't even say it correctly, but the vindictive judgment of God. The vindictive judgment of God, of the judgment on those, his people, who would break the covenant. But notice our text. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Now that's the old covenant. Remember what he said about the old covenant? The old covenant is nothing in comparison to the new covenant, is it? He says, verse 20, "And how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." So to abandon Christ's sacrifice is to put one on the side of Christ's enemies. To be on the side of Christ's enemies is of the effect, the picture of crucifying him again to public disgrace. And so, it's a pretty stern warning. "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge the heathen." The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The grace of our Lord Jesus is so wonderful. But to spit upon that grace, very fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And in this day in which all of us know the seeds of apostasy are everywhere, we can relate to this text, to this book. We also relate to the fact that the Bible says in the last days, the words of the scoffer is, "Where is the promise of his coming?" A mocking of a God who judges sin. And he is talking about the fact that we, as the people of God, are highly privileged. And we ought to be warned. We have to be warned. You know, too often we think about this only from the standpoint of can I make it? You know, can I make it through tomorrow or the next day? Whereas the Lord is saying, you know, we ought not be thinking merely about physical life. We ought to be thinking about the judgment of God and the text is so plain. It says the Lord shall judge his people. The Lord shall judge his people. And the day in which we live, in which almost a new gospel is being preached, gospel that is a gospel without repentance, a gospel that says you can have the world and the Lord at the same time. How much different is that than trodding underfoot the Son of God? I don't know if it's much different. And so we live in serious times. Let us think of the exhortation. Because of that confidence we have in Christ and that salvation, Let us hold fast the profession. Let us be warned. The seeds of apostasy are in the air. Let them not affect us. For that's a very serious thing. Let's pray. Father, pray that you'd use your word in our lives tonight. May the truth of your word penetrate our hearts, for we even sense how our hearts are hardened and dull oftentimes to the truth of your word because of our own sinfulness and our own pride and our own willfulness and the world around us and all its isms. And may, Lord, in your grace, Lord, might the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord both be functioning as they ought in our souls. Perhaps you're here tonight and the Lord is speaking to you in a special way tonight. And you say, you know, Pastor, me too. I sense just this lack of the fear of the Lord. I sense it in the world and even in my own life. And the Lord is speaking to me tonight that I need to be warned. I need to be warned about succumbing to the seeds of apostasy around us. What a terrible thing that would be to go that route. And God is speaking to your heart and your need to draw nigh to the Lord, hold fast the profession of your faith, to be in the Lord's house as you ought to be, that you might be strengthened and grow and be what you ought to be for God in these last days. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God, speak to my heart tonight. There's a definite decision I need to make. Okay, praise the Lord. Others, okay, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Anyone else? Lord, we do need your help. We need your grace. We need your working in our life. That, Lord, with rejoicing and fervency, we would draw near to you. That we would love you as we ought. And that, Lord, that we would have your fear in our life. And we know that, Lord, the flesh has no fear of God. It only can come from your spirit. And so work in our hearts, Lord, even as we pray tonight. Might you minister to us, draw us closer to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to humble ourselves before you as we ought, Lord. May we pray in faith. May we pray in unity. May we pray with purpose that you would be glorified and that your Son's salvation might be spread to souls. And Lord, we need your blessing and the devil to be defeated as he hinders souls. And might your word have free course. Think of the many people who are witness to this night and these last few days that, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and draw them to yourself, Lord. And may the Holy Spirit convict them using your word. Might they come soon to faith in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.